football phone. There is virtually nothing to talk about this week, so we could squeeze, if we try, maybe a good 30 seconds out of the two tones. We'll see how we go. Tony DeBolfo, you were at the game on Sunday. What a win.
It was magnificent, Tony. It was terrific to see you in the winner's circle there afterwards, grinning like a Cheshire cat. And, well, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? But, gee, it was worth the wait almost, wasn't it? It was just great to see the team singing the song again.
There were so many great aspects to the day. First and foremost, I guess you'd say, Juddy doing... the lap of the ground. Thankfully, the club didn't insist on making him walk, which I thought was good. I don't know how his recovery is coming along, but it was just great to see him. Beautiful sunshine, and you talk about a man who can pull skin off custard. Because you'd seen the game before against the week before against Brisbane, there wasn't a lot to merit 33,000 people there. You would have thought on the strength of the possible contest, but the pulling power of Judd ensured, I think, you know, a lot of people. There were more people than we would have anticipated at the game.
Very true.
And it was a great turnout, and turned out to be, for Carlton fans, a great contest.
And when Chris was going around in the chauffeur-driven car, I remember thinking, you know, just I hope we get a commitment from the boys today, if nothing else for him, you know, for what he's brought to the Carlton Football Club. And in a lot of ways, I thought that actually set the tone. You know, there was a feel-good feeling, you know, for those of us who were there pre-match. And thankfully, it carried through because, you know, we got off to an absolute flyer. That was outstanding. And admittedly, you know...
6 goals in the first quarter,
wow, it was just magnificent. Yeah. Admittedly, the opposition wasn't great. But still, you know, as they say, you can only, you know... play what's put in front of you. And I thought it was superb the way that the players went about their business.
There was a couple of things that stood out for me that I want to see if you agree. If you don't, get the hell out of here. just memories of the day. How important is Matthew Kruse, not only to the team but to the fans? When he kicked that one of his goals, so I was out of my chair. I was just screaming like a mad thing. He's just exhilarating in full flight.
Very true. You know, the way he tacked the football. And of course, we have to acknowledge the week's events with Lockie Henderson. And, you know, when you bear in mind what had happened there and the fact that, you know, Lockie wanted to end it all with Carlton, to see Matt Kruse's approach to the contest was magnificent. You know, the way he tacked the football. And I think what's most heartening about Matthew Kruse's return, the second, third time around, is that more than at any other time previously in his comeback, he seems to be moving with this magnificent freedom.
Yeah.
And clearly, his body is right. And at last, he's been given a chance to really strut his stuff. And look, he was absolutely superb. And at a time when the club's calling out for more leaders,
this was the way that he
played. He led by example. And you know, it's when a player does that, it's like, you know, follow me, boys. This is where we're going. And I think it has an enormous impact on the morale and the psyche of the players who see the big fella out there, you know, dominating the way he did. And that was great for Carlton, great for football, I think.
There was a couple of other incidents. Bockhurst, his game really impressed me. There was a 3-on-1 contest, and it wasn't just a second effort, it was a third effort. He was really dedicated, got the ball, won the contest, dished it out. And he was, of course, later on instrumental in setting that goal up for Cripps, who, I mean, what more can you say? We're almost out of superlatives for that kid. But Bockhurst's game, I thought, was fantastic in terms of, you know, green shoots, the way of the future.
You've hit it on the head there. It's another green shoot that, you know, we want to see, you know, sprout even further, to use the analogy. But and I must give credit also to John Barker and the coaching staff, because all the matchups worked. You know, when you talk about Bockhurst, but the other one was Mark Wiley. Mark Wiley did a pretty good job on... I'm trying to think who he had now, because that you had, was it the captain of Melbourne? I'm trying to think. We'll have to get Jones. I think you had Jones. And then you had, Cripps just running amok at midfield. Murph, given that, little bit of freedom that we hoped would happen with Cripps's presence. And, of course, as you say, Cruiser dominating at the contest. And, of course, what you have to bear in mind, Tone, was the loss of, Murphy... Jamieson and Cruiser late in the game, where, I mean, I feared the worst. I thought, we're going to get overrun here.
Yeah.
And yet the team found a way. We talked about how well Cruiser led. Well, in Cruiser's absence late, it was Cripps that said, "Follow me, fellas." And I mean, he's an extraordinary talent. But I think his approach to football too is something pretty special, and anyone who was at that game will know exactly what we're talking about. He was just tremendous, and what a future he has at this football club.
Well, it also struck me in that third quarter when Melbourne did stage a comeback, when Murph was off the ground, we were bereft for a crucial 5 or 10 minutes, and we lost all initiative. That, to me, really illustrated the impact of Mark Murphy as a captain. I've completely... just my attitude to him now as captain is completely different, I think, it was before.
Yes.
His on-field leadership is vital.
Absolutely.
But that said, you're right, the next generation did realise something needed to be done, and the likes of Cripps stuck his hand up and, led the rally.
And it can't be forgotten, Tony, that, Bryce Gibbs is out of this team, as is, Nick Graham.
Mm.
Two important players to the Carlton midfield. So I think there is a nucleus there, very much for the Don, Brendan Bolton, to work with into 2016 and beyond.
Well, you've mentioned the other big highlight of the week, perhaps the biggest talking point, the appointment of the new coach. Tony, you were at the press conference?
Well, it was an absolute privilege to be there, Tony, Tuesday, and I hadn't met Brendan Bolton before. I only seen him on television from afar, and so I was very interested to be part of that the unveiling of the new coach at in the Donship Theatre on Tuesday. And look, he made such an impact on me that I just took a little bit of time out to put together just a few observations about the man. What my first impressions of him actually were, and I've just written words down, like resolve. There's a resolve in his commitment to the game and to the football club now and where it's headed. He was engaging. He engaged the people in the room. He was self-effacing. The only coach Clarkson can look down to is how he described himself, which was great. Purposeful, energetic, strategic thinker, inquiring mind, wants to be challenged, wants his people challenged. Didn't mince words, didn't waste words, answered all questions directly and succinctly. Very much the mantra was success through learning. The line he used, which I hadn't heard before, was a great line: getting comfortable, being uncomfortable, because as he said, anything new is uncomfortable. So he's up for the challenge in terms of his thinking, new ideas and innovations. I think he's a teacher together with a coach. It's very much been his career path, both in teaching and in coaching. So he's probably merged both of his loves to do what he enjoys doing most. So I think he'll be, to our young list, a great mentor and a like almost a father figure to these boys. But I think he'll be with them along the way. I think in Brendan Bolton, the players will have a friend, but a friend who will be firm when it needs to be firm and won't hold back when the lesson needs to be taught. I think he'll try to fast track the players' development. No doubt he's going to inherit a young list, so therein lies his challenge to get these young kids through as quickly as possible. Potential drawback is the fact that he hasn't played at senior level, as everyone's noted, but it's funny when you go back in history, and I did have a look this week that There's only been one premiership coach never to have played the game at senior league level, and that was the great Jack Worrell. The father figure of Australian coaching, as it's as he's often been referred to. Jack Worrell was a rover. He was a hard-edged, nuggly man, as I've read about him, broad shoulders, intense brown eyes. So maybe there's an element of Jack Worrell in there. I just think that what we have inherited, and obviously the club has done due diligence to the nth degree in putting the new coach through all manner of interview, you know, over or involving all members of that elite coaching panel. So you have to think what Carlton has inherited here is someone that has an opportunity to establish the framework for sustainable success, working off a blank canvas. And that is extremely exciting. And what I also liked about what Brendan Bolton said was that he wanted to create a sense of belonging, and the message of belonging was conveyed to the members and supporters direct. You know, in other words, jump on board. There's no I in Brendan Bolton. It's not a me mentality, but an us mentality. And I think that Carlton supporters, if they're patient, should really look forward to this, what is a new phase in Carlton's history. Hopefully it's a landmark moment in Carlton's history where we see Brendan Bolton's methodology permeate not only through the playing group but through the entire club, and hopefully that is going to be better for Carlton as in its entirety.
We'll get to John Barker in a minute, but just on the selection process, you'd have to say it's brought the club nothing but credit in how thorough it's been, how I guess the focus on due diligence, the focus on process has been really important, and you know, effectively a repudiation of the celebrity draft, if you like, of coaches like Pagan, like Malthouse, and just saying that we are committed to getting the right person, no matter how long that process takes. And you get a sense of that too in the club is very comfortable with its choice. It came down to a very tough choice. It was almost like a rose ceremony on The Bachelor. You could see John Barker there, you know, grabbing Bolt's hand, you know, as the Bachelor takes his time to actually make the decision. But in
any
the
red
end,
roses involved, Tony, at all?
Well, I don't know. You're at the press and not me.
But I think it's a fair point.
Yeah, from a fan's point of view, you go, the club is absolutely committed here to finding the right person because the coach is so utterly instrumental going forward in the next 3 to 5 years.
Very much so. And, of course, he'll have such a say in recruiting as well. And obviously he and Stephen Silvani now will be, you know, making the senior list and the you know, the dynamic of the playing group paramount in their thinking, which players they retain, which players no longer required, who they bring in. It's you know, I'm sure Brendan Bolton has a million things spinning through his mind at the moment. You know, just the fact that he's been appointed senior coach of the Carlton Football Club, you know, it's would be a big thing to get your head around, you know, just that moment in time. But
and that he's an employee as well, which is a remarkable thing. That's Triggy's idea.
Well, that's right, and I suppose that alleviates the pressure of putting a time frame on it, you know, a term, which gives, I think, the coach, you know, confidence that, you know, this is open-ended, that there's, you know, who can say how long this is going to take, the rebuild? We know it's a rebuild. How long is it going to take? Who knows? But what you said a moment ago in terms of the process of coaching selection, I think was important, because there's a lot of members and supporters I've spoken to this week that have commended the Carlton Football Club for their governance in this respect. And there's no guarantees that, you know, the coach is going to be the man. We who knows? Who knows how it's going to pan out? We all hope he is. But I think the way that the Carlton Football Club has gone about it, and as thorough as they've been and with all their attention to detail, it's basically saying that, look, we've done as much as we possibly have to ensure that we get the decision right. And I don't think you can ask more of the football club than that.
Great point. And it does bring supporters with it. If you see the club committed to that level of excellence in choosing, you know, somebody as pivotal as a coach, then you it gives you confidence of the future direction of the club.
And it's and I think it's pretty clear that we're going to draft, you know, we're pushing for, you know, as many early selections as we possibly can. We want to draft youth into the place. And for those of us who were at the MCG on Sunday to see the likes of Bocorst, as you mentioned, and Cripps, and all these players, this is what this is the exciting part about it. And I go along to see these players play because I can see that this is the future of the Carlton Football Club. And we're going to hopefully get in more players like them over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you know, just to, as Brendan Bolton basically formulates, you know, the solid core of players that are going to take this football club on into the eight and beyond. So that's where it's exciting.
John Barker missed out. There was apparently nothing but a burnt match between the two. It was a very tight contest. He's been magnificent, just in restoring competitiveness to the playing group. I remember the first game that he coached, it was a different outfit on the paddock. And from that point, there's been, okay, there's been a couple of lapses, but going to watch Carlton play this year has been an immensely different experience under John Barker than it was under Mick Malthouse. And we owe him, you know, no end of gratitude for that.
Well said, Tone. And it was significant, I thought, that when the press conference opened, that Steve and Trigg first commended John Barker for what he had done for the Carlton Football Club in its hour of need. Because this has been annus horribilis, as we all know. And I think looking back on John Barker's tenure, I think what he did was set a standard, you know, a standard now that that every player and every person has to adhere to. You know, there are certain standards that have to be met by the playing group. He's made the hard call on players that, you know, haven't measured up to those standards because what he and we want are players that want to play for the Guernsey. And I think when you reflect on John Barker's time through 2015 is that he has set the tone for the way Carlton should approach their football from here on in. So I think we've got a lot to be thankful to John Barker for. And I, for one, hope that he does stay on. He's a great man and we could ill afford to lose his ilk.
Well, yeah, and of course you watch him with a lot more interest now because you just think in 1 or 2 years, is the same process going to play out here? Will John Barker be lured away by another club in the same way that Bolton's been lured here?
Well, he's certainly done nothing to harm his CV, the way he's gone about his approach to the role, you know, that was that fell his way in awful circumstances, but all power to him. He, as you say, he's been magnificent in the way he's conducted himself.
You're right. And if he was to go, look, I'd love to see him coach at a senior level. If he was to go, he would go with the best wishes of every Carlton supporter, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
So, magnificent job by JB. And he will see out the year, obviously, as a senior coach.
Yes. And then we'll see what happens. He'll weigh it up. And as I said, hopefully he looks at Carlton is the option for him to stay on, maybe as a support to Brendan Bolton. I think you know, in Barker, Bolton would have a confidant there that could that understands the list where it's at and the makeup of the players on that list. So, you know, that'll be a call for Brendan Bolton too, I dare say, as much as anything. But let's hope that John Barker, you know, sees fit to stay on because, as I said, he's a great man and we can ill afford to lose his like.
You're right. We're big fans of you, JB, on the Carlton podcast. Don't worry about that. Previewing the GWS game, there's been two or three season-ending injuries announced this week. Murph, obviously. Casbolt.
Levi Casbolt's gone, yeah.
And there was one more in there. Jakes.
Which is a shame because Jakes is one of those players, you know, like Wiley and like Bockhurst and whoever, that you want to get games into.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
And there were flashes there on Sunday.
Little flashes of brilliance, you know, little flashes of, dare I say, the green shoot.
Yeah.
But But these are the fellows you want up and running, and we want to have a good look at them, you know, and, you know, we want to get games into these these players, you know, just to see, you know, whether they are able to cut the mustard senior league level, you know, what their future holds. So that's a shame. It's a shame. And, I mean, you know, it's just three more to the... to the never-ending list of casualties.
It's like a scene from the Civil War. It's like a field hospital.
Oh, it's standing room only downstairs in the medical room, Tony. I tell you, it's they've run out of bench space, that's for sure.
So now, I know we've mentioned it before, but it's just worth going over just how... just what a body blow the list has been dealt this year. Okay, at season-ending injuries by players, or okay, I'll let me rephrase that. Players who have suffered season-ending injuries this year are White, Warnock, Thomas, Sheehan, Murph, Juddy obviously, Jax, Gowers, Gibbs, Foster, Casbolt, and Byrne.
Yeah, it's staggering, isn't it? It's staggering. That's, what's that, a dozen players that, you know, most of which you would think would be probably amongst the starting 18, you know. I mean, our depth, you know, had left a little to be desired regardless, but, you know, to lose as many players as that, I mean, that's, you just cannot hope to, you know, to cover those sorts of losses through injury. And I suppose that maybe, again, is a credit to John Barker that he's managed to keep the players hanging in there and focused on the job at hand. You know, it would have been easy to sort of, you know, turn in the toes, so to speak, particularly after the debacle the week before against Brisbane. And yet he's sort of kept what he's had left up and about, and probably that's coaching genius, isn't it?
Well, it is. And you look at Cripps' reaction at the final siren there. I mean, that was a win that meant a hell of a lot to him and the rest of the group.
And haven't supporters and members been screaming out for that? They want to see players playing with passion.
Mm.
You know, and that moment, you know, when Cripps kicked that goal, that massive, you know, you'd call it a captain's goal, really.
Yeah.
That to take that mark, that great
centre
kick from Bokers, go back and slot it to stop the rot, and then to see him, you know, raise his arm to the heavens and sort of, you know, grab for the jumper.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see. You know, you supporters look at that and they're not silly. You know, they want to see players saying, I play for this club because I believe in this football club and I want to see it kick on, you know.
Just a bit of Simpson in every heart at this club and we'll be fine.
Well, it's not too much to ask.
Now, GWS... look, it's going to be an interesting game, and we might have said that about Melbourne, but you know, you just never know.
It's nice to be off the bottom, though, isn't it?
Oh,
you know,
well, yeah.
I mean, that's. I think that was good. You know, to get off the out of the cellar.
Yeah.
I think was a good thing, and fingers crossed now we don't end up there. You know, because I don't want another spoon.
No. Although, you know, well, look, the cynic would say is the wooden spoon comes with a silver lining in terms of, you know, draft picks and that sort of thing. But just in terms of pride, it's not where you want to be.
I'm with you there, Tone.
The GWS game is Spotless Stadium, 1:45 p.m. on Saturday.
Mm, well, who have we got left? It'll be interesting to see what, you know, the makeup of the team this week. And
Brendan Bolton might actually be taking the field just to get an incredibly close look at the playing group. That's how committed he is. So, look, we will see. We'll wind up there, but just a note on anybody, I guess, like us, fretting over the status of Matthew Kruser. Stephen Trigg has come out and said, fear not, he's not going anywhere. There's just a couple of minor issues with the contract that need to be cleared up, but he is not leaving Icon Park. He would basically, he's under house arrest here. He's not going anywhere, and that is great news.
And I think maybe we got an answer even before Stephen Trigg made that statement. We got an answer against Melbourne on Sunday by the way that Matthew Kruser played.
Yeah.
And to me, looking at that, he said, I want to play at this football club. And that, seeing the way he went about it, that was enough for me to say, yeah, he wants to be a part of the new story, because it is a new story. You know, I look on Tuesday, hopefully, as a landmark moment in Carlton history, Tony. I really do, and that I hope I'm not overplaying that, because it is exciting. You know, it's a fresh start. We've got a new coach, an untried coach. You know, but. And hopefully we inherit more good young players that are going to help take this club forward, because I think to a man we're all sick of languishing where we are.
Yep. No, you're right, Tone. The whole incident has that feel about it, because, you know, you may have looked at previous coaching appointments, high-profile ones, and gone, well, we all know there's a placebo effect there, but this has the real deal. It has that feel about it. So, yeah, these are great days. There are blue skies and green shoots, and that's what we want.
That's exactly what we want, Tony. Well said.
Two Tones, Tony DeBolfo, Tony Moclair signing out here. We will catch you next week in what has been a great and remarkable week in the history of the Carlton Football Club. That's next week.